Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Top of the morning to you, cilantro, whatever greeting you like on St. Patty's Day. That's when we're recording this. We're St. Patty's Day in Wichita, Kansas right now in the back room of the Humidor East, the coolest little cigar, little smoke shop you could ever hope to happen across.
Ever to stumble into. I mean, we're talking about professional stumblers. Don't even have that many opportunities of stumbling into a place this stumbleable.
The best stumblers in the world wish that they could stumble across the Humidor East in Wichita, Kansas. But they can't. You know what? But we did. And we just did it by accident because, you know what? If you get high enough and you just walk around.
Have a few cocktails, a couple of shots of J-Mo.
Yes. And so we're in the back room right now with Patrick, who's a regular here, Corey, who's a regular here, and Kamel, the shop owner, who's treated us. You're not the owner?
Okay, he's not the owner. We just met.
Oh, he's the manager. The manager.
He's running the show.
I don't want to get Kamel in trouble.
Can you also, with any point, just maybe get some of your camera too?
He's the manager.
I'm a cigar broker. So I get...
All right.
Wow. So tough gig.
Corey is a cigar broker. He goes from cigar shop to cigar shop, selling product and just sitting back and drinking and smoking cigars. He has the coolest job, and it's even cooler than our job, really.
I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, it is.
I mean, I would take that job any day of the week. So we're here preceding the Pro National number two, the ACL Pro National number two event that's in. It's Bagmania,
the number two nationals of the year for the ACL situation we have going on. We got a big one. It's open to the public for the first time. One of the major nationals finally open to the public since COVID. And guess what? It's going to be popping off. We're here at Wichita State.
It's historic. Listen, the only thing that would be cooler like than the first cornhole event during the pandemic to get opened up to the public would be that after they did it, if it went full zombie apocalypse and zombies just started attacking the arena, yeah, and all 2,000 of you that paid for a ticket for your first chance to see a live cornhole event since last March get eaten by zombies.
But then guess what? The zombies, after they eat everybody, fucking actually follow through with the tourney. And then the zombies of said pros still compete at the highest level.
And I mean, that's what would happen too. Because you think the top 50 of the 250 pros in the ACL right now, the top 50, if they were to die, get bitten by a zombie, become zombies, it's all about muscle memory, doing the same thing every time, right? Repetitive motion.
That's what it
if
is.
You're a zombie, you become mindless. You're going to be a much better cornhole player than you were before. So
that's how we get down over here at the Humidor, man. Now, here's what I learned today, Todd, about cigars. My man Patrick over here. Uncoincidentally, on St. Patrick's Day, I used to think that people cut the whole tip off the cigar. They don't know. You're wrong, friends. That means you can get a mouthful of fucking tobacco, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. That's what Patrick told me. And guess what? There it is. Zoom in. You can see the little slit there. Nice little slit. Now, Patrick, you say, what does this do? Why do we want to do this?
Otherwise, you're going to be eating tobacco because it's going to expand as you get that in moist. Mm-hmm. We know that is.
Yeah.
And so you want the slit moist, and then you get a nice draw through the cigar, and you just get a nice smoke through the whole thing evenly, and you don't get too much tobacco in your mouth.
It was very sexual sounding until you got to the end there. Like, you want a moist slit. Patrick, what's your last name? Are we going full? Like, how Irish are you?
Unless you're on
last
sort
name's
of
Tiller. So, you know, tilling the potatoes, all that. So, yeah.
You're Irish.
Patrick Tiller, he's 100% Irish. He can't get more Irish than that.
Can you get me lighted here, Patrick?
I can help you. There's some tips to that too.
All right, how do I do that? We're gonna go live here. We're gonna
first you
got to
roast the end. So you want to?
I'm gonna put my mic down. What do I gotta do?
So you gotta toast it like this. So you got a nice even burn.
Okay.
Otherwise, you get what they call canoeing, where the cigar starts to burn halfway
through. I'm a big stoner, Patrick. I know all about canoeing.
There you go. You don't want to canoe it.
If that's somebody, that means they don't know how to roll a joint.
Yep. And then, no. Don't suck yet.
You're right. Suck on it
like you mean it. Yeah, and there you go. Now you get a nice even burn across the end. You want to look at the end, maybe blow on it. Make sure you got a nice even burn across the end of that.
Look at that burn.
Yep.
How's that look?
That's good.
Nice. So far, how would you rate Sean's sucking and blowing skills?
Yes. He's a 9 out of 10.
Whoa, a 9 out of 10 on your sucking and blowing, bro. I knew it.
How you like me now?
9.5, says Corey, for the back. And he's a professional in the cigar industry.
Corey knows about sucking and blowing. Look at that hat. You can't even buy that hat. That hat, you got to be a professional sucker and blower for well over a decade before they even send it to you in the mail.
We're also joined by the Shop Dog, which I love. I love any business that you go into and they have a Shop Dog. So the Shop Dog's name is Elsa from the movie Frozen. No, it's not from the movie Frozen. Hang on, Corey. I got to come to you with a microphone. This is a good story right here.
Look,
all right, so this is your dog?
Yeah.
Okay, Elsa is Corey's dog. Corey, explain how you got the name Elsa.
Elsa travels the world with me, but Elsa, I had a dog that was colored like her, named Einstein. Einstein in real life was married to Elsa, who happened to be his cousin. But
And then a baby Elsa came. And what kind of breed?
Border Collie Blue Heeler Mix.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the prettiest dog, I mean, just freckled with color throughout.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
black
like an
and
Oreo
white and some
reverse.
Blues in there. I mean, just a beautiful dog.
And since I'm a little redneck, the whole cousin thing seems to play.
I think so. I think the cousin relationship thing fits right in line with what you got going on, Corey. I love it. All right, so we're in the back of a cigar bar. We didn't know where we were going to podcast. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Until Jarrett texted us, we forgot that we needed the podcast today.
Thanks, Jarrett.
One goes off tomorrow. I'm pretty sure we have an ad to do on here, and I forgot about that part of it, so we're going to have to record that maybe at the hotel and squeeze it in somewhere.
No big deal.
You'll hear it soon enough.
You will. Cigar now, Camille, the shop, who's running the shop now here at the Humidor
East.
Here in Wichita, which, by the way, make sure you guys come out and support. No free ads, but when people are this cool, you support them, okay? This is a small business. We're supporting small business. It's been a hard year. A lot of people, this again, like stand-up comedy, is something that they have not been able to enjoy the last year. So if you're in Wichita metropolitan area within a 7-hour drive, come on over to the Humidor East, right next door. You get your liquor next door.
Yes.
You come right and walk. That's how we found it, Todd.
Yeah, we stopped to get some liquor to take back to the room earlier because we created our own cornhole game, if you watch, which I dominated. And
they did dominate.
we played hotel room cornhole. We were like, Sean was like, I talked to the guy next door. Of course he did. It said smoke shop. You wanted to go over and maybe get some glassware, whatever. But
ended up being
like,
a wonderful cigar shop, not an actual.
Like, yeah, it's a
like
cigar
weed
shop.
Smoke shop.
And the guy was like, come back anytime or whatever. And then you were like, you know what? He had a bunch of cool looking leather chairs in the back and guys were hanging out. We should do the podcast back there. And you fucking called him on the phone. He's like, yeah, brother, bring it in. By the way, Camille reminds me so much, like audibly, if you just listen to him, as like Brian Callen's character in The Hangover, the one that married them in the wedding chapel. Like, I don't know where he's from or whatever, but that accent is perfect. So I'm loving it here so far.
So we're sipping on, I got a Dos Equis Amber. You're sipping on a Blue Moon. And also, we got a little Hayden Basil here. I mean, look at that color.
Hang on. Hang on. Wait, Corey. I got to bring you a microphone. We'll have two inputs. Go.
That is just one sip. It's intended to be taken all at once.
No, it's not.
Okay, so this is a shooter. I'm going to do mine all at once. If that's what you say to do, Corey.
I'm not doing that, Corey. It's Hayden Basil. This is a fucking sipping whiskey.
That's one sip.
Especially if you're a bitch. I'm a bitch, Corey.
That is one sip, bitch. You've had more than that in your mouth at one time.
You're goddamn right. But sometimes I want to just enjoy the flavor of it. Not just cram it down my throat, Corey.
Just hold it in there for a while.
I'll try to take mine all at once because I trust. I saw that there was a bottle with more in it, so maybe Kamel will come back by and refill me if I do it all at once. All right,
so
cilantro,
nice.
Brother. This is St. Patty's Day. What are we doing?
All right. You know, I respect that, and I get it. We all go through the motions as you grow older in your 20s and 30s and 40s of still going out and getting lit. And you know what? Honestly, if I wasn't on a strict relationship regimen and rules, I'd probably be out getting dumb, too.
Mm.
But now I live under a guideline of rules now because I'm going to be getting married, and she will not allow your boy to get buck wild like he used to.
Well, you know, when it comes to settling down, and it happens to the best of us, I've done it several times.
It's a little bit too much.
After enough marriage and divorces.
You're two and two. It's like Chuck Woolery, two divorces.
You just welcome the cliff after a while. You know what? I know there's a cliff at the end of this thing. I'm just going to keep walking forward until I finally fall off of it. And I'm not going to stop along the way and pause like I used to.
Yeah.
Corey, come sit down right here so I can pass you the microphone or easier.
And that's what we're doing.
So you're in
charge.
We got
a show tomorrow night, which is now tonight, if you're listening to this episode. Tonight, the Wichita Loony Bin. Pretty sure it's already sold out, so go fuck off if you didn't get tickets. If you're in Wichita, too bad. Listen, you know what you want to do? Go sit out in the parking lot. Maybe stick your ear by the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll be able to hear the roaring of the laughter and your envy of those people will somehow give you the energy to find your way into the showroom.
Maybe you'll be able to hear the rumble from outside the walls of the comedy club from the outside parking lot. But also, I think if you want to come to the show and you didn't think far enough in advance to buy tickets and it's too late now because it's sold out, you can pull up somewhere near the area, go on Sirius XM, dial in your station to 98. Go fuck yourself and miss the entire show
right there. You go make, don't go to 99 and you're okay. Don't go to 97 and we like you. Get to 97. Go fuck yourself and do exactly as said.
Suckers.
Look at this. This is a nice cigar.
These are great cigars.
Kamel set us up with a nice beginner cigar because at the end of the day, Todd, I do smoke weed on a very regular basis.
You do.
But this is a much different ballgame.
All right. Pass that mic to Patrick for a second. I have a couple questions for him. Patrick, you are a regular at this particular establishment, the Humidor East?
Absolutely.
How often do you come here, would you say?
Probably every 3 days.
Every 3 days,
yeah,
you're in
about
here.
About 2 blocks away, so it's easy.
Okay, so almost twice a week.
I do all the cooking at home, so she lets me have a break. You know, my wife is fantastic. She's the greatest woman in the world, of course, and she's in Florida right now enjoying herself, so I'm here enjoying myself.
Obviously, yeah, she gets it, Patrick, and that's what matters. And for all of those listening, because we have a lot of younger people listening to the show, take what Patrick just said and file it back into your little file cabinet and put that, label it under why people don't get murdered domestically. Like, that's like, there are so many murders domestically that happen and don't need to, because listen, if you just understand it, like, hey, let's give each other their own space, their own avenue to fucking blow off steam, we'll have way less domestic murders. Do you agree, Corey? How many murders do you have under your belt?
You know, I don't have any murders.
Six.
But I do have six kids.
Whoa.
And
he murdered in the sack. That's what I'm talking about.
And I did better than most guys. I have a mom for each of them.
Look, now that's a goddamn gentleman right there.
He's got a route. Like, he's got a meat route that follows the cigar route. I have a feeling you've been a road dog for quite a time.
5 years, but I didn't think my kids should have to share, you know?
You know what? They will after they turn 18. You know what I mean? When they start footing the bill themselves, they can join in. It's not a big deal.
I have two kids that are the same age.
And they're not twins, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
No. Two different mamas, you know what? Same penis, different vaginas. And sometimes that happens in the world.
In the 70s was a wild place, huh, Cor?
Hey, I was a little beyond the 70s, but you know, yeah.
I'm giving you a little leeway here. I'm 78, I'm 42.
Look at Elsa. Elsa's by the back door. She's got to go pee.
Camille, Elsa got to go take a potty.
Camille, Elsa's got to go out back and take
a piss. Elsa the dog, you got
a
potty. She's being very clear about it. I don't even know this dog, and I can say this dog needs to go piss.
She's being a good doggy. She's by the back door. She's howling.
Look at that doggy over there, just ready to go take a piss.
I say we are not a bar. We're just a cigar lounge, and we do some tasting sometimes. That's it. All.
Well, yeah, we actually brought some of our own stuff, and you're like, yeah, if you sit back here, this isn't actually part of the establishment. You can sit back here and have a tasting and smoke a cigar. Just,
drink as you would drink in the bar, though.
Yeah, and you made that clear.
Exactly. And where are you from?
I'm from France.
You're from France? You're actually French?
Oui, je suis français.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Don't sleep on Wichita, motherfuckers.
Man, I was going to say like something. I was just guessing like because I seen the movie Taken. I was hoping he was like Eastern European or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But France is way more cool.
I say I don't believe in that. I believe wherever you're from, it's always cool. There's always good things everywhere.
It is. But you in France, they have way less human trafficking.
I feel more I'm more an American than French. I've been here almost 30 years.
Oh, nice. Hey, well, welcome. We're glad you made it here, and we're glad you started
later,
this fucking business.
By Todd there.
We're glad that you're running this business here.
France is the greatest place in the world. You can buy used guns, only dropped once.
That's a World War II reference for those of you
for the,
that are younger. Get it? Well, you know what? We bailed France out, and in France, they currently don't speak German. You're welcome.
You know, one time I was in France on an 8-hour layover to South Africa, and I said, fuck it. I rented a Vespa, but I accidentally got on the freeway. And I never seen the softest road rage in history. It was like two white French dudes and two black French dudes in a car yelling at me out the window. But they were saying in a very gangstery, hardcore manner, but it sounded so nice to me that I'm a fucking lazy-eyed Mexican on a Vespa on the freeway in Paris going, hey, fellas, day, night, thanks for the welcome. I'll be getting off in the next exit. But they were probably going to probably kill me if we pulled over because I clearly not belong on the freeway on a goddamn Vespa. But it wasn't my fault. I was trying to catch the Louvre.
Yeah, I
caught the wrong loop, diddy loop. And then the nicest black gentleman with the nicest accent I ever heard threatened me in the most polite manner I have ever had.
I love it. That's what I love about, like, when he said, as soon as he said he's from France, immediately I see like everything's softer there. You know what I mean? It's like a little more forgiving. I know.
Except their terrorism. They're real gangster over there with their terrorism.
Like fight combating terrorism?
I'm talking about when their terrorists go ham in France. They go fucking next level.
Well, yeah, because they know that they're not going to do anything back. They're so nice. It's like Canada, like hardcore. You know, Canada's like a nicer version of us. Imagine Canada times 1,000. Like people in France are that nice and forgiving. Like it's a perfect place for terrorists.
How many times have you hung out? Have you hung out and been to France, Corey?
No, I've been to Germany, Russia. I've been all around France, but
I've been there for 9 hours. I'm not Camille.
I just couldn't do France. I'm sorry.
You know what? It's a place. It's for artists, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. All my friends have been there. It's an awesome place to live. Like, it's very cool and chill. You can do whatever you want. Nobody judges you. But also, like, if you're a terrorist, you come in, you're like, I want to blow up a building. There's really nobody to, like, fucking scare you from doing that. You know what I mean? There's no fucking Harry Callahan. Like, no Clint Eastwood standing on the other side. Like, whoa, if I blow up that building, this dude's going to hunt me down and fucking kill me and my entire family.
And my international travels were, they had that Russian mail order bride thing, and that appealed to me. So I had to go a few times.
Yeah. Just a little test run.
So, all right, I'm with you. All right. Because there's been several different times in my life where I'm like, you know how much easier life would be if you just like, got this mail order bride thing, and it was just a financial arrangement done over a contract. Like, here's what I'm presenting to you. She accepts. She's like, this is what I'm presenting to you. She accepts. And you just do it, and you don't have to waste time with all this other stuff that usually doesn't work out for most people anyway. The divorce rate's 60-some% right now. It's over half of marriages. So why are people still belittling the overseas like mail order bride situation, Sean?
I'll tell you why, because it's against what they think is right.
Boom.
They don't know what's right because they only know what's right is when you what you grew up in.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard plenty of people in the, you know, in the Middle Eastern culture that praise the fucking whole parents hook it up marriage thing. Now,
yes,
obviously, when it comes to ages, we're going to get touchy there. Okay, I'm saying, but I'm saying older adults, you know, and two adults. If it's a 19-year-old woman,
yes,
and a 21-year-old dude. Difference? I'm not talking about like the medieval shit from like
yes.
a 12-year-old and a 30-year-old. That's not.
And you're
acceptable.
Also talking about when two people enter a certain point in their life. You're not talking about young people just getting their life started because you don't want a bunch of kids as a product of that going to show and tell and be like, oh, here's a letter, here's a postage stamp or whatever. Look, what's that? That's when my dad bought my mom. You know what I mean? Now, like, you don't want that happening in elementary
you
school.
You went undercover as a gay mail order bride in Russia at some point, didn't you?
I was hot, dude. I fucking got, yeah.
Now,
I got
that
married.
Was only
like
6-7 reach arounds before you found the real man that you needed. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I was like, listen, they were like, hey, you don't actually have to do that. And I was like, that's what you're saying because you don't understand what it takes to do this job.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to get the gig and you want to know who's who, you got to do what's got
to
be done.
They're like, listen, this them entering into the contract is enough evidence for us to get a prosecution. I'm like, you're fucking soft. I'm going to go in there. Bitch, I'm going to fucking all the way through with this. I'm going to get a full reach around. Uh-huh. I'm going to come to completion and I'm going to make the tightest case possible over and over again.
And when he says tightest case,
I'll do the same fucking suspect 20 times, I said.
Todd was the only guy in male sexual history that tried to get his arm twice the distance long. So he tried to double the length of his arm so he could wrap it around the dude twice before he jacked him off.
See, that's the extra work I put in. And they were fucking, they were so like.
I mean, was your knuckles all fucked up because your one arm used to drag and you had to end up getting that other arm dislocated or removed? But for the meantime, while you were dragging that long-ass arm around, dudes were getting the quadruple reach around, and they still talk about it in the history books.
Word was getting around in Russia, dude. Like, it's a fucking, it was called.
You know how hard it is to get word in Russia around?
Dude, it's tough. You know what I mean?
You got to jack off top people at the top.
During the winter, it was the only thing keeping people outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they wanted to come fucking watch.
Well, that level of friction, we're talking about some serious heat, no matter how cold it is outside.
Yeah. And I felt like I never got the credit I should have gotten after that operation.
Hey, you know what? Fucking, I tell you what, if I had a nickel, if I had a nickel.
I mean, my department was like, we haven't even gotten anybody on board that can enforce things internationally. I'm like, I'm doing it anyway.
And for the record, this dog
you can't enforce
would still
this
love
in Indiana,
to go take a piss.
I'll do it anyway.
This dog is letting
have
it.
This dog is whining like it wants to pee.
The problem is you're sitting in her chair.
Ooh.
Also, we're sorry about that. But we already set up the cameras. There's nothing we can do, baby. But if you want to come sit over here, I'll rub your ears as much as you want. Come here. Come here.
She said, no, okay.
See
I'm
these
good.
Grabby claws? I'll rub your ears.
Oh, look at them good
She's
claws.
Like, yeah, go fuck yourself.
If I'm a dog, I'm going to run over to them claws. Look, I can make my ears feel nice.
How far are we into this? Because I keep looking at that clock and I'm trying to gauge myself, but it's, you know what? That clock actually doesn't work. It's been at 8:55 the entire time I'm staring at
I was
at
like,
it.
Holy Christ.
It's kind of right twice a day.
Yeah, it's right twice
a
day.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Like, it's not moving at all. So how far are we into this? Does anybody know? 23 minutes going hot.
Just getting kicked off. I'm going with a nice Dos Equis lager, amber here. I mean, they got a secret door, it looks like, from here. I mean, I might have watched too many movies, but if I wouldn't know better, I think if I pop that door open, we're going to see fucking automatic rifles popped in on the wall.
And it's not even a full-size door, what scares me. It's like a half the width of a normal door. It's like a Harry Potter door, and I'm afraid, like...
Actually, it's a bunch of lockers, Todd. But if you look far enough back, it looks like it's a wall of lockers, but it could be a door.
The doors, the cool doors in the cigar shops look like bookcases.
Oh, like a speakeasy.
And believe it or not, there are some of those out there.
Oh, are there prostitutes behind the doors? The what look like regular bookcases and shit?
So I got, Lord knows I would love to tell you yes, but no.
Corey, can you go ahead and give us a breakdown on when you decided to go balls to the wall with your chest pockets? At what age?
You have double pocket shirts, which
and
I
they
respect.
Are loaded up.
And you have, not only are you wearing a two-pocket shirt, you make use of, you have a cell phone in one pocket.
You got the pen.
And I don't know if the camera can see, but there's pens and writing utensils and reading glasses in the other pocket.
No, hell, that's not even it. We're not getting down to the good stuff.
Oh, shit.
Deep pockets.
I got this cigar that I haven't finished chewing.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of chaw still in there. The lippers, okay, they'll respect it.
I've got this cigar that's just getting begun chewing.
Okay. Yes, sir.
No wonder you have so many pockets in your shirt. You absolutely need it according to your lifestyle.
I feel like he was right now when in 18, yes, when homeboy would always go, I love it when a plan comes together.
Dude, I mean, you know, hell, I got this sticker in here.
What's the sticker?
Yeah. Oh, I got business card. Those don't mean shit, though.
Nope, nope.
No. But I got the sticker in here.
Oh, shit.
It's the $20 chef.
Right to the most important pocket, the front,
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Thank,
I mean,
you for validating my show, sir.
I love it. Dude, you keep so much. You know what? If you're going to wear two pockets on your shirt, just don't waste them. That's all I ask. Are you wearing them just to wear them, or are you going to keep shit in them?
So in the cigar industry, we have so many people that are in suits and ties. And all of this other fake shit.
Mm-hmm.
And in my territory, I do Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. Okay, so this is my territory.
You're a rep for a cigar company?
I'm a broker. So I represent several different brands in the industry.
Well, if you guys want to sponsor, if you guys have any brands looking to sponsor podcasts, we know a couple guys.
But the thing of it is, the first thing I say when I start to represent these brands is, this is the way I dress. If we're in Las Vegas, this is the way I'm going to be dressed. This funky-ass hat, the shirt, the boots, the whole deal, this is the way I dress. And I've had companies turn me down because of it. But the whole thing is, this is me.
Yeah.
You know? And look, I get to go out every day. I hang out with my buddies. I smoke cigars. I drink whiskey. And I do what I do.
And cut!
I mean, that's the perfect life. You just described, you're a dude who lives the perfect life. And you get to dress like Nicolas Cage going to hunt treasures, but you don't have to go through all the perils of hunting treasure. You're just sitting in the back of cigar shops, drinking whiskey and smoking great cigars.
I've had those companies that have tried to change me over the years.
Some of us have women that try to do that. You had companies.
So I've had both.
I wouldn't be surprised if you looked at me and you said, Sean, not only do I do all this, but I also have the patent on the most comfortable socks that have ever been worn, because I want a motherfucker to feel nice and light on his feet going from cigars to whiskey and back and forth in between waking up and going to bed.
How'd you know?
How didn't I know is a real question. I don't even know if that makes sense.
If you want to know, like, the measure of a real, like, man's man, here, I'm going to give everybody that's younger or that's female a little life lesson here. As someone who grew up in the Midwest out in the country, you want to know the measure of a man and, like, how much he can get done around the fucking house, like what kind of man he is, just go take your eyes as soon as you see that dude and go right down to his boots. If he's wearing fucking boots and they still look cool and they're well broken in, that dude can take care of you. That dude, if your sink busts, that dude knows how to fucking fix it. He don't have to go to Lowe's and fucking hire a subcontractor to come out 2 weeks later to fix your leaky faucet. He can fucking get it done right then. Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Corey?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm looking at right now, those are the perfect boots. Like, those boots have probably gotten you laid more times than you care to remember.
That and the back cover of that VHS video, but...
Hey, for three of his kids, he only had one boot on.
And that's no bullshit.
Kamel is back.
Kamel came in to help our producer, Jeff.
Get his fucking cigarette started.
Get his cigar started up.
Or cigar, I mean.
Boom, look at that.
Jeff, here.
Oh, I apologize, sir. I apologize.
Right now. if you're watching on YouTube, this might be your first glance at Jeff, the man behind the magic of all the everything YouTube.
Hire Jeff Seddon.
All our videos.
No, but don't hire him because then he'll leave us.
Yeah, don't pay attention to his hashtag, hire Jeff Seddon, because he's already hired. We don't want him to leave. He's awesome.
And he's very leavable.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of motherfuckers can pay him more.
He's very hireable, but we love having him, so we're trying to keep him.
It's about specific goals you want to achieve. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think everything, everything that you've ever learned, you've learned about getting healthy anyway. There's a lot of contradictory information out there, you know, and you have to keep that in mind. And things like that old-fashioned food pyramid.
Those are the worst, bro.
Yeah, that's back when we learned that Columbus discovered America and that Pluto was a planet and the cigarettes were good for you. All these things they were telling us at the same time, too. So you got to be careful.
That's what I'm talking about, though. This is where noob comes in, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You could skip all of that stuff. You could skip the food pyramids. You know, you know how to chew. You probably, maybe, kind of know how to use chopsticks. You know how to fold a slice of pizza so the cheese doesn't slide off and get you that perfect bite, right? You know how to have a bowl of ramen, get a piece of meat, a little bit of the jalapeno, grab some of the cilantro and some of the noodles and get that perfect bite. You know how to do that.
Yeah. Do you really know how to eat? That's the question. Noom says if Guess you want to lose weight, it's not about one thing that you ate today, but how you eat in general.
And what you need is Noom in your life. N-O-O-M. Noom. This is it. You're no longer getting questionable food advice, okay? You're getting the real deal. I don't need your corny advice. You don't have to tell me to eat fruit before a meal, no food at the 10. Let's be honest, okay? I'm not even sure if that's actually good advice, Todd. Who told that person that that was good?
Yeah, I don't know either, because based in psychology, Noom teaches you how to eat so you can accomplish your personal health goals and stick with them long term. That's what I'm more interested in, because you don't need rules to lose weight. You need knowledge, dummy. You need knowledge, food for your brain, not only food for your stomach. And with Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, not what everybody else is telling you is right for them. Hey, try this. It worked for me. I don't care. How about somebody actually do the research and pick health goals that are exactly right for me? It's personalized. A weight loss program personalized by Noom to help you make your aspirations become reality.
You're going to be eating better to feel better, understanding your cravings, knowing how to shop, knowing no food is quote unquote bad. If you want more energy, you can enjoy exercise again. You could fit better into all those clothes you spent all your hard-earned money on. Then this is where Noom comes in. This is your guy. This is the person that's going to help you. Noom is like the thing that's going to help you do what you're capable of. And it gets you on track. You know what I mean? Feel more comfortable. Feel better in a crowded social situation.
Just try it. 10 minutes a day. Give it a chance. I think when you look at all those things, you're going to be very happy with your decision to go with Noom, because it's the forgiving, empathetic nature of the program that sells it. How Noom works, like specifically with your lifestyle and how you don't have to commit to some crazy rigorous plan, all that is why we're recommending this to you. It's a lifestyle decision surrounding food going in your mouth.
Noom teaches you why you make the choices you do, and it gives you the tools to replace your habits with healthier ones. This is what it is. We're talking about Noom's cognitive behavioral approach. This means you're not only losing weight, but you're building habits to keep the pounds off. This isn't a gimmick. This isn't, oh, if I do this, it's going to work. Noom is here to help you change your mindset and what you're doing. Noom's forgiving because you're human. If you get off track, don't worry. You're back on tomorrow. You can't just be cold turkey. Noom's here to hook it up. Everyone's busy. That's why Noom doesn't even demand that much of your time. Only 10 minutes a day.
Proven success. Over 80% finished the program and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year. Come on, it works. The stats are there. So listen, there's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, N-O-O-M. That's Noom.com/guns blazing. Noom.com/guns blazing. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/guns blazing. You ready to learn how to live healthier?
then sign up for Noom today. I'll say it one more time. Noom, Noom.com/gunsblazing. Get it today.
What is this whiskey that I'm drinking right
now? Hayden Basil. That's the good stuff.
Hayden Basil.
Hayden Basil. That's what I said. Basil Hayden.
Basil Hayden.
Hey, apples, oranges.
Just so you know, it's Basil Hayden rye. And it's kind of like drinking a nice Earl Grey tea. It's really,
it really is
soft. I mean, the, and subtle.
The color alone. Look at the color compared to most whiskeys.
Or you can go to something like this. That's
Malibu rum. Am I right, Corey? You're sipping on a little Malibu over there. As a matter of fact, the general manager of this place hasn't been back for 15 minutes because he went to the grocery store to buy you pineapple juice. Is that what's under? I just had to ring somebody up for fucking four cigars.
Yep, that's it.
This goddamn Colleen is trying to fucking press over fresh OJ and pineapple.
Absolutely, that's it.
You know what was great when I was in college? Early times. I used to drink
that was back
so
when
much.
Everybody was only in one classroom, right, Todd?
Yeah. And Capone made it in his fucking hotel room. His guys did, and shipped it across the border to us. But early times whiskey is the worst tasting whiskey you can ever throw down your gullet. I don't know. It's probably free now. It used to cost a couple dollars a fifth. But I used to drink the shit out of early times. And now, like, I drank so much of it.
That's good whiskey.
I like
it. Wait, you like early times? Are you from Tennessee?
No, but come on. That's good shit.
Hey, for what it is... For the money you spend, it is what it is. You're getting what you get. And it's been around for 20 years, helping people with low budgets getting lit.
Corey, I'm going to tell you right now. It is the whiskey of college kids and alcoholics because it's just affordable whiskey. I'm not saying it's undrinkable. Totally, it is. But when I'm drinking something like right now that's in my hand, there is a world of difference between that and early times. Would you agree?
Yeah. Early times is whiskey. The shit you're drinking is like Earl Grey tea shit.
And I mean, how much is a Hayden Basil bottle?
$35
bottle, man.
And that's, you know, you can get a lot more bang with your buck with a little 101 Wild Turkey.
Yeah, but.
Especially the 101 rye, you know.
If you're I'm in a stage of
cigars. I love it.
Kamel, what I'm drinking right now, I love.
Oh, he just
right
got
now,
back
with
the pineapple juice. Kamel's back.
I love. Did you bring back his pineapple juice to add to his Malibu rum that he's drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also a fresh slice of pineapple.
Yeah,
also.
And maybe an orange slice on. And an umbrella for his glass would be great.
The sunshine like Florida.
Yeah. He's the best, dude. Like, Kamel has been so, like, this is the greatest thing. When you're an entertainer who has no choice but to go on the road or whatever, like, you might as well make the best out of it, obviously, right? If you have a good attitude, that's what you do. You find something great about where you're going to just accentuate the experience. And right now, that's what we're doing. And Sean being chill and relaxing and wandering about from us stopping at this liquor store, we found this place. This is like a gym. These are the little things that happen on the road that keep you from, they keep you going. You know what I mean? Because it's not always easy. Sometimes you got gigs that don't work out and they suck and they make you want to quit. And then you think back, you know what? When I was in Wichita doing the cornhole event, we stopped at the cigar place and it was fucking awesome. We talked to Corey and Patrick and Kamel and we had a good ass time. Does that make sense? It's probably the same thing with you traveling and being a cigar rep.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm out on the road all the time. And you know, over the years, I've built up this friendship with all these people. So now for me, it's easy because I'm going out to hang out with my friends, smoke a cigar and drink some whiskey, you know? Yeah. So it's easier for me than it is for you guys. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense, man.
You're goddamn right.
And that's what I love about it. All right. So
you're still kind of sipping that. And that was intended as one sip.
I'll do my sip right now.
There's
again.
No way. That's a fucking.
Sean, just throw it back.
That's not. You know, I'm not throwing that back.
No, come on.
Podcast.
Come on. Let's just throw it back. All right, here, cilantro.
I'll get a nice chug out of it. I ain't chugging it at
it's
all.
It's St. Patty's Day. You have to. I feel.
No,
like.
I don't.
You know
this
what I
mean? Hayden Baszler.
Oh,
nice
Kamel
whiskey.
Just called you out. Did you hear him?
I'm a big old bitch, and it's on the record.
All right, cilantro. Happy St. Patty's Day, brother.
Hey, cheers. Cheers. All right.
All right.
Oh, you can't toast and put it down.
He just did a big.
The post toast. It's called a post toast.
No, you can't. Put,
it's a fucking post toast, Patrick. You heard of him?
You can't toast and put it down. Ah. You have to toast and drink.
Boys, this is great. I'm having a good time. I could sit back here until probably 5 in the morning. Kamel, can we stay up until 5 in the morning back here in the back? Can we stay open until like 5 in the morning in the back?
I can open up maybe 11:30.
Oh, you can stay up until 11:30. All right, that'll work. I don't know even know what time it is right now because your fucking clock is broken. Look, it hasn't moved the whole time.
Wait.
I want to. All right. What's the deal with the clock?
We changed the hours for the lounge. It used to be 11, but people usually took advantage and they would show up here because with the lounge who stayed the latest, everybody closed at 9. And I decided to change the hours to 9 o'clock. And I set that clock to 5 minutes before 9, like that. When they see that, they get out of here.
So 9 o'clock was quitting time in the back, and you set the clock to 5 till 9 and just turned it the fuck off. I love it.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. That's a great move. Yeah, he's got jokes.
We got jokes.
All right, fuckers, we got to go.
Huh? We got to go. It's 8:45. They close at 9.
It's always 8:45 here.
It's 8:55
here at all times.
8:55. But he said we're good till like 11:30. I might make a night of it. I'm not going to say we're going to record the podcast.
Again, just
so he
knows, the Humidor East holding it down in fucking Wichita, Kansas.
Listen, I don't even know yet what all is here in Wichita, other than I know the university, obviously, the college, and there's a cornhole event happening this weekend, and there's the Looney Bin, which we have sold out for the 10:30 show tomorrow night on Thursday, or the night you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on Thursday. But I can tell you this, if there's nothing else that's cool about this fucking city, it's the Humidor East. Travel, like, just punch it in on Google. Find out where it is. Come here. Get you a cigar and hang out and talk to Kamel and see what's going on. Like, this doesn't happen everywhere. We travel the country, Sean.
Yes, sir.
We don't. How many times have you traveled the country and found a back room where the manager of a cigar, like a humidor place, invites you in the back room to hang out and do a podcast?
It's very rare. It works out so beautifully, especially. And not only is it a workout, but the environment is so welcoming and wonderful. And you just really get that Midwest vibe, no matter where they're from, whether it be France or fucking, I don't even know where Corey's from. Corey could be from goddamn Melbourne or Billings.
Corey
or Billings.
Is from, I'm gonna guess before you even say it, Corey, I'm going to guess that you are from Lower Arkansas.
Yeah, my heart's still in Russia.
Oh, he's still in Russia.
Here's the weird thing is that he was part of the hoax. He tried to flip a 2016 election.
Yeah.
And he's just here living off the rest of his visa illegally.
He just came here to influence
he's
the
all
way
that
we
money
voted.
That they paid him to influence and sway the election, he's still living off.
It's incredible. And he's doing very well in the cigar industry, so.
And you know what? Hillary's still paying me.
Well, of course she is. I mean,
hey, just make sure you don't fuck up. You don't want to get on that list, that kill list.
Yeah, a lot of former people.
Hillary!
Hillary. Did somebody have a lighter? My
last
cigar is
way.
Out.
Last one to do a business deal with the Clintons and dies a rotten egg.
You know the great thing about that list?
What's that?
Oh, shit.
Wasn't me.
It was fucking McComas. Todd looks like an inner city cowboy.
I was an inner city cowboy.
By the way, Corey, I don't know if you know about this. I told Todd over here next to you. Old fucking Mr. Bubbly over here, positive energy, goddamn undercover cop for 20 years.
I was.
But the state police, he was also a fugitive apprehension team guy, you know, bust in, look for the bad guy. The baddest of the bad. You know what I mean? Oh, you're safe now. Don't matter how many warrants or fucking felonies you got. He smokes weed and hangs out now.
Yeah,
I'm powerless. He's retired.
And also, I was an inner city cowboy. Like, that's a good description of me. I should think of that for my next special that I'm trying, because I'm trying to find out a way to explain how fucked up it is to, like, be forced to grow up in the country on a farm when you can't control that as the kid. Like, I always felt like a city kid, but I was born into a family where we, all my cousins and shit, like, we just grew up on farms way in the country, and I didn't understand it, and I was forced to deal with it. So that's a great way of putting it. I don't know if I'll use cowboy, I might use farmer instead. But it's a great, great principle that
now, is there
definitely
such,
applies.
What do we run with here, inner city hillbilly?
Oh, I like that. Because you don't, you grew up in the country.
No,
Patrick, if you're from Wichita, you know what the country's like.
Patrick's from Ireland.
Right. You're from Ireland.
He's
you're
actually
hardcore.
Brother. He's distant relatives of Shrek.
Yeah, you're a member of the IRA. You have domestically terrorized.
He used to sell guns to fucking the guys
Europe.
From SOA, Sons
yes.
of Anarchy.
Yeah. I mean, you've blown up a lot of shit, right, in your day. Yeah.
He got a look on him like he got explosives in the car. Yeah, but just Tannerite. Just Tannerite.
Yeah, that's right. Just Tannerite.
So what I love about this city-country deal are the disconnects in your education.
My disconnects were just something in me didn't like to just, I didn't agree with the continuous death cycle that occurred. Mm-hmm. Like my parents would like literally would come to me. My mom would be like, "Hey, we have a new baby calf for you, and you can name him whatever you want. You know what? But you're in charge. You're in charge of the bottle. You're gonna go out and feed him 3 times a day, and all this." And I'm like, "Oh, this is awesome! I got a new pet." And then in 6 months, yeah, it's in our freezer. You know,
that little BA Baracus was in the freezer.
Yes. Like, that's the part I didn't agree with, which my cousins had no, you know, they just, that was part of their lifestyle. They were more cool with it. But I was trapped there. And, like, literally, here's like, I'm going to give you guys a gross example that I can never, I've tried to do this on stage and tell it because it's true and it never works on stage, but I can do it on a podcast. This was a regular routine in the winter for me, right? Because we lived on my grandpa's farm. So my dad would get up, we'd get up in the morning, we'd have breakfast, and my dad would be like, "Hey, go clear the hay bales." And I'm like, "Cool." Well, in all our outbuildings, my dad stacked bales of hay around them for insulation around the bottom edge where they meet the ground. Keep cold wind from blowing in and freezing whatever's in there. Well, but the message was when he said, "Go clear the hay bales," meant go just fucking peel the dead frozen burn cats off of the hay bales. So
we're talking about real cats.
Real cats, dude. Okay. At one point we had almost 30 farm cats, and they would just try to get to warmth and they would freeze to the hay bales. And as like an 8-year-old kid, I have to wander around the barn and peel dead cats that are frozen to the side of hay bales off of them and throw them away into a bag. And I'm like trying to process it. And
you were like a little Dexter, but you didn't have
yes!
to kill them.
Yeah, I'm like, why does
you
everything
like a corner,
die?
A cat corner,
a cat corner,
8-year-old cat corner, Todd McComas.
And then you'd like dogs, like we lived off a busy highway. We get a new dog every 6 months because I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when a dog reached 6 months of age, it's like, I cannot run that car. And you're like, no, you can't. I've seen it over and over. You're going to get run the fuck over. So every 6 months, my dad would bring
probably
in a new dog. Like, I remember my mom and dad were like, "Hey, what do you want for Christmas this year?" And I was like, "I don't know. How about a fence? Like, or one of those little screwy corkscrew things that goes in the ground you could tie a leash to, you know?"
Oh, my God. He's the only kid to ever ask for a fence on the property at 89 years old, bro. I never heard that in my life.
It's so true. Listen, guys. We've had so much fun being here in Wichita, Kansas. This is just our first night. Like, literally, we landed on a plane just a few hours ago. We went and got something to eat, and then we made plans from there. And here we are in the back room of the Humidor East in Wichita, Kansas, the coolest cigar spot in the area. If you are anywhere near here and you're a cigar aficionado or anything smoke related, come through here and check it out, because Kamel will take care of you. He runs the place and he's awesome. At the drop of a hat,
just upon one initial, like, conversation, I don't even call it a conversation, just like a quick pro quo back and forth with Sean. He was like, come back anytime you want. If you have a podcast, shoot it in the back room and let it happen.
But you got to at least have 10 to 15 to 20,000 listeners because
he screens you. I mean, he
has some respect.
He's not an idiot.
Your numbers.
He looks into your shit. He sees how many people are following you.
I obviously dropped $20 shit for Instagram. That's my biggest one. So come on, guy. Go look at my Instagram. I got 9K. Come on, man.
But we love you guys. And this has been awesome. You guys got to finally see Jeff if you're watching on YouTube. He is a complete beast. We're so thankful that he is willing to hang out with us and come to these things at subpar pay compared to what he's used to when he lived in LA and he was a big deal. So this is awesome.
He used to watch Snooki sleep for hours before he'd get a clip. Now he's with us.
And that's pretty incredible to think about. And now
he watched Snooki sleep for hours.
He used to watch Snooki sleep for fucking 14 hours.
He watched Pauly D tug off Snooki. I mean Snooki tug off Pauly D.
You get it. But now he's sitting in a hotel room with us, shooting some hotel room cornhole that we make out of a Dos Equis box. So it's fucking awesome. To Patrick and Corey. And Kamel.
Kamel.
Don't fucking. All right.
I might have renamed him. But also, just so we can follow along with this, guys. We're at the ACL. We're going to have our own courts this time. Last time was a feel out. Now we're starting to get our own thing going. We got our own courts over at the ACL. If you're in Wichita, come down to the Wichita Center. They got room for 2,000. It's at 10% capacity. It seats 20,000. Me and Todd are going to be doing the halftime show. We got a comedy show tonight at the Looney Bin. We're doing cornhole. We're just living life, guys. We're loving it. Subscribe to the YouTube, okay? And just come live with us. Love with us.
That's it. Hey, you know what? We're closing it out. This is enough. We got to fucking at some point gather ourselves from the drunken state that we are. But you guys have been awesome for following us this far. Things are starting to pop off. Finally, COVID's ending. And this is just a little fucking taste of what's to come. So you know what? If you don't like it up to this point, go get fucked because this is us. This is what we do. And for those of you that do hang, we love you. And you know what? Hang on because it's getting bigger.